God is our protector and provider. Be reminded of that today on Abounding Grace.
All of your needs are and will be met according to your riches in Christ Jesus. God has promised to provide all of your needs. That's an important truth to hold on to as we continue to go forward in our journey of faith in a very unsettled world that we're in right now. Very unsettled globally, economically. It seems like every area of life that we have depended upon for stability and safety and encouragement has been taken away from us or will be taken away from us. And then we're standing there weak-kneed, and you can almost hear God say, don't be afraid, church. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Because God owns it all, and He'll provide all that you need.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life.
Do not be afraid. That phrase is scattered throughout the Bible over and over again. We could rightly conclude that the Lord knew these are words we need to hear, especially right now. Welcome once again to Abounding Grace and our continuing study of Genesis. Today we turn together to chapter 15 and uncover some wonderful promises of God that can calm our fears. Our teacher, as always, is Pastor Ed Taylor. Here he is with today's message.
Genesis chapter 15, if you have your Bibles open there with me. Genesis 15, and the title of our Bible study is Our God is Our Shield and Great Reward. It's one of those encouraging passages there as God comes to Abram and tells him, don't be afraid in verse 1. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abram was spoken to back in Genesis 12. Will you want to go there with me in Genesis 12? A lot has happened since this call comes to this pagan man. In verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you. And I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is known as the Abrahamic covenant. And a lot has happened just since this introduction of God to Abram. Remember, Abram obeys and he leaves. And after he leaves, a famine hits. And he takes a detour to Egypt where he tells his wife to lie. And yet God puts fear in Pharaoh and rescues Abram. Then they go out and he has an issue with Lot and the servants of Lot. But Abram doesn't want to have an issue with his family. So he gives Lot the opportunity and yields to him. Lot chooses the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, gets himself in trouble. A war breaks out. And now Abram becomes a man of war, literally. He had over 300 people that he armed, and he went to rescue Lot. He asked now to get involved in Lot's problems, and Lot becomes a big problem for Abram. I'm sure Abram was emotionally and physically exhausted by the time we come to chapter 15. He didn't anticipate, I believe, the real warfare that awaited him on this journey of faith. And again, let's be clear here, the warfare for Abram was real hand-to-hand combat. And I don't think he anticipated it. We don't often associate great steps of faith with big steps of warfare. And for us, it wouldn't be hand-to-hand as much as it would be spiritual. There is a spiritual battle with every step of faith. And living in the will of God does not come without a fight. As it's been said, earth is a battleground and not a playground. And I'm sure that you've heard this said and maybe even enjoyed it, that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. It's such a pillow to lay your head on. But as real as that truth is, the devil hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. He wants to distract you and disrupt you and ultimately destroy you. He wants you as a follower of Christ as weak, as feeble, and as ineffective as he can get you. I mean, whether it's completely torn out or if you give him 5%, you give him 10%, he wants to take you out. He doesn't want you relying upon the Lord. He doesn't want you fellowshipping with other believers. He doesn't want you reading your Bible daily and praying. He doesn't want you loving one another and reaching out with the gospel. He wants your marriages ruined. He wants your kids shattered. And he'll take you as miserable and as depressed as he can get. Anything and everything but growing strongly spiritually. And it's a reminder today as we jump into chapter 15, as Abram just finishes warfare, it won't be his last. And it won't be the last of associating the faithfulness of God's people with warfare. I mean, the whole book of Joshua in taking the land is one of warfare and battles. And we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Would you hold your place here and turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. You can read it to you from your, you can read it from your version, but I want to read it from a different perspective. Ephesians chapter 6, jot it down in verse 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. By the way, after the battle, here, Abram in chapter 15 is standing firm. He's probably a little weak-kneed, as you and I are often, but he's standing firm, and that's the word that Paul gives to the Ephesian believers. Notice verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Church, you're involved and engaged in a real spiritual war, a very serious battle. And I want you to think back just for a moment to before you were born again, if you have that testimony. There wasn't a lot of resistance and a lot of battle going after you when you weren't saved because you were cooperating with the devil. He's not going to fight himself. You were living for this world, living in this world, cooperating with the evil of this world, just fully engaged in it. You were no threat and no danger to his plans. But when you were born again, you chose sides. For Abram, the call in chapter 12 was his choice of sides. No longer living in idolatry and paganism. No longer living in the life that he had apart from God, he rose to the occasion and he chose sides. And by choosing sides, both Abram and you and me declared war. You could say very really, in a very real way, you can say, I declare war in the spiritual realm as I stand fast as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Jot it down in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says again in the New Living Translation, fight the good fight for the true faith and hold tightly to eternal life, which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Notice Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he says, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. It is a good fight. Just remember, church, to fight the right enemy. We have a real bona fide enemy, and it's not other believers. And many times it's not who you think at all. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle in the spiritual realm. Now, verse 1 of chapter 15, with that in mind, fresh off a real war. Verse 1, after these things, what things? Everything we just shared. Rescuing Lot, bringing him back safely. At this moment, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And I would say this is a great follow-up to any episode of spiritual warfare. Don't be afraid, Abram. Don't be afraid. The comforting promise of God. Notice what he says. He says, number one, I am your shield, which speaks of protection. Or as we learn in Ephesians, protecting us from the fiery darts or the arrows of the enemy. Abram, I'm going to protect you. And I think that God, speaking to Abram here, you know, he didn't say, good job with war. I'm glad you got Lot back. You're such a great man of faith and a great man of integrity. And he says, no, Abram, I want you to know I'm your protector. Even the victory you just enjoyed was because of my protection in your life. I'm your protector. I'm your shield. Abram, you can trust me. You can trust me. Don't lean on anyone or anything but me on this journey of faith. Again, jot it down in Isaiah 41:10. This is repeated over and over again. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. And be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. And I think God would be saying that to many of you today. I am your shield. And secondly, he says, I'm your exceedingly great reward. Remember, Abram just came back with all the spoils of war, and what did he do? He didn't keep them all. He participated in the tithe. He gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Before the law is ever established, Abram did not keep all of the spoils. And it's interesting to me that God would come to him and say, you know, not only am I going to protect you, Abram, on this journey of faith, but I'm also going to provide for you. It's the same promises that we have in Christ. God is our protection, and he's also our provision. God himself will be Abram's reward, even as he himself will be your reward. All of your needs are and will be met according to your riches in Christ Jesus. God has promised to provide all of your needs. That's an important truth to hold on to as we continue to go forward in our journey of faith in a very unsettled world that we're in right now. Very unsettled globally, economically. It seems like every area of life that we have depended upon for stability and safety and encouragement has been taken away from us or will be taken away from us. And then we're standing there weak-kneed, and you can almost hear God say, don't be afraid, church. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward, because God owns it all and he'll provide all that you need. Now, this is the first time, you Bible students, that in the Bible that the word of the Lord, notice in verse 1, the word of the Lord, the word of Yahweh or Jehovah is mentioned. And it's also the first time the word vision is mentioned, the word shield is mentioned, and the word reward are used. It's the first time that the scripture uses the great I am statement as well. And notice how Abram responds in verse 2. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. That's an interesting response to God, who says, I'm going to provide, I'm going to protect you and provide everything you need. And then Abram goes, well, what are you going to give for me? I'm the last generation. Well, what is your provision for me? That's an interesting response, but I love his honesty. I love his childlike faith as a grown, successful man. He says, what are you going to give me? He's getting older. And how will the promise be fulfilled? He received the promise from God, but then as he's assessing it all, he's like, how's it going to be fulfilled? I just can't see Looking at my body, looking at my life, looking at what you've given. I just don't see how you could possibly do this, God. Verse 3, Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So God is promising him a son in his old age. Now the custom of the day dictated that the servant of the house would get the estate if there was no male heir. And Abram, no doubt, is thinking, hey, my name is Exalted Father, but I have no child, no son. Where's my protection? Where's my provision? And I think those questions are familiar in our own walk of faith. Where's my protection, God, when we're in a vulnerable place? Where's my provision, God, when we are in a vulnerable financial place? Or maybe a promise has been given and it hasn't been fulfilled, and we're in a place of waiting. And to me, it's encouraging that God listened and received Abram's concerns. He wasn't an angry dad, saying, just take my promise and deal with it. But he's dialoguing. Remember, prayer is a two-way street with God. It's both listening and talking. Talking and listening. And one way to facilitate that is to pray through the scriptures. Have a Bible open, praying through the scriptures, talking, listening. And God gives Abram a direct and comforting answer in verse 5. And he brings him outside. So he takes him outside of his tent, brings him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. Now just pause there for a second. A little bit of sense of humor with God, I think. So go ahead and look up and just start. I don't know if you've ever tried to start counting the stars, but you lose count somewhere along the way. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 25. Oh, I'm which one am I on again? And he's like, if you could possibly count the stars, and he's bringing Abram to a place where he, in a very easy, simple way, saying this, Abram, I'm God, and you are not. Remember the great difficulty that Job went through. Job went through significant loss, significant grief. He wasn't encouraged by his friends. Things were even more difficult when his friends come by. He's battling in the physical realm with all that he's facing, all that he's going through. His wife has been taken out. She too is grieving. Not a great encouragement to him. She's not even a great encouragement to herself. And the whole book of Job is walking through the argumentations and the wrestlings. I mean, it can be a very discouraging book, but it can also be a very affirming book, as any of you that have gone through great difficulties can relate to many of the episodes in the life of Job. Now, I want you to turn over to Job with me toward the end. I'm going to find it with you. As we come to the end of the saga with Job, and it ends with Job talking to God. Very similar here with Abram and God. And when you get to Job, go to chapter 40. And let's just face it, when we're ministering to people, most likely we're going to be in the realm, especially those that are grieving and hurting and just going through stuff, we're going to be in the realm of comforting them. We're going to be in the realm, I mean, if we had Job's story and Job was here today, most of you would seek him out, give him a big hug, take him out for a cup of coffee and say, Job, it's going to be okay, bro. I'm here with you. I'm going to pray with you. I'll be your prayer partner. We'll get through this together. I'm sorry your friends were so discouraging to you. I'm sorry for your great loss. I mean, we're just going to step in, I think, with empathy, with sympathy, with care and concern, and that would be a perfectly good response. And please, church, be more empathetic, be more sympathetic, walk alongside people, carry and lift up one another's burdens. Yes, yes, yes. But you know, that's not what God did with Job. Here's God's response in chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, it's going to be okay, Job. Things are going to be just fine. No, that's not what the Bible says. You know, do you have your Bibles open there? What does he say? Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? A paraphrase, Job, do you really think you know better than me? Now, doesn't sound super comforting, doesn't it? And he just goes chapter after chapter. He says, hey, look, Job says, I'm vile. How can I answer? Verse 4, I lay my hand over my mouth. Verse 6, and then The Lord answers Job out of a whirlwind. So there's all kinds of dramatic effect there from God. And he says, okay, Job, prepare yourself like a man. Stand up. I'll question you, and you're going to answer me. And verse after verse after verse after verse is God saying, in a very paraphrased way, Job, have you forgotten that I am God and you are not? And that's what God's doing with Abram here. And you can expect God to do that with you as well. He is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation. He is the God who cares and loves. I mean, God has demonstrated his love toward us, and yet when we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, he has made it evident and clear of his great love for us. But there are those times, and they're probably far more than we recognize, where God has the authority and knows what's best for us, and he comes to us and says, have you forgotten that I'm God? And can't you just say, yes, Lord, I have forgotten. Yes, it was a lapse of the emotion got me, and I forgot. The pain got me, and I forgot. The hurt got me, and I forgot. The anger got me, and I forgot. All the different voices of bad counsel got to me, and I forgot. There's 1,000 different ways that we forget, but God might be inviting you out of the tent. And I think the tent here represents a place of comfort and protection, a place where, as Abram is living life in his life of faith, he had a covering over him, a covering where he would rest at night, where he would live his life, the regular everyday life that you and I have. God says, I want you to step out of your everyday life, and I want you to look up. And if you can, go ahead, number the stars. Count them all. And yet God knows you're not going to be able to do that. And what does he say? If you're able to number them, he says at the end of verse 5, so shall your descendants be. He says, I'm not just giving you a son, but you'll have descendants connected to you more than you can number. Don't forget that I am God. He says now in verse 6, one of the most epic verses in all the Bible. I want you to mark it, circle it, highlight it. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. This is the root in the scriptures of a doctrine that we know as justification by faith. Justification by faith. If that is a doctrine you want to study more on, I have Bible studies through when we went through the book of Romans that you can spend more time on looking at justification, glorification, sanctification. We looked at these doctrines in depth one at a time. It's mentioned again in the New Covenant in Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3, and James chapter 2. This is one of the most important verses in all the Bible. The very essence of your relationship with God. There is a promise so huge and a situation so desperate. And Abram's response was not to try to count all of the stars. Some of you, that would be your response. Okay, God, I will start counting. And I will get back to you when I am satisfactorily counted every single star that I can find. He doesn't do that. His response to the promise of God, to calling out of his tent, out of the regularity of his life, out of the comfort and ease, out into the wide open expanse, his response was belief. And it was at that moment where the connection between God and Abram really was solidified. Because at this moment, it was accounted to him for righteousness.
We're enjoying a study in Genesis here on Abounding Grace. Pastor Ed Taylor is our teacher on the program, and you can hear these studies online at AboundingGraceRadio.com and through the Calvary Church app. Check out Ed's blog at edtaylor.org. Thank you for remembering Abounding Grace in your giving to the Lord. Every gift that comes in goes right to ministry. It plays an important role in helping us bring the truths of God's Word to the radio and the internet every day. And when you support the ministry today with a gift of $25 or more, we'll say thanks by sending you Humility by Andrew Murray. Request it today when you call 877-30-GRACE. That's 877-30-GRACE. Ordering is super easy through our online store as well at calvaryco.store. And if you'd just like to make a donation to the ministry and you're not interested in the book, you can donate safely and securely at aboundinggraceradio.com. Glad to have you with us for today's broadcast. We look forward to continuing the journey through Genesis next time on Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. In the meantime, let's be drawing on God's abounding grace for daily living.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.